your best friends, and they're wanting you to succeed and you want them to succeed. So go out there and you got to play for your guys.
Welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Every week, we'll be talking shop with lacrosse goalies, coaches, and special guests. This is the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Now your host, Coach Damon Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, goalies from around the world, welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Damon. And on this show, it is my job to track down the best goalies, best coaches, best trainers in our sport, interview them, find out what makes them so great. What are some things that they have in their lacrosse goalie game that you can have in yours? I like to interview goalies from all levels, D1, D2, D3, and my personal favorite where I played my college ball, the MCLA. That is the league our next guest on this show plays in. It's Matthew Corazon. Corazon, the zone, his teammates call him. He plays for the University of Florida. And we talk about his lacrosse goalie career and what life is like in the MCLA. Two MCLA goalies sharing a bunch of stories. He also has a ton of tips from his coaching career and things that you can use in your own lacrosse goalie game. So ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy this episode with Florida Gator goalie Matthew Corazon. Before we begin this episode, I want to read a word from our sponsor, and that is my own Lacrosse Goalie Summit. We just concluded in December of 2021 the Lacrosse Goalie Summit 5, where 17 of the best coaches, best goalie minds in our sport came together to give amazing presentations on different aspects of the position. If you are listening to this right now, and you want to become a better goalie for your 2022 season, here's what you should do. Go to goaliesummit.com and you can still get access to all 17 of those videos. You can even get access to all of the videos from the first 4 lacrosse goalie summits. That's over 80 hours of training on all the different topics that you need to make your game better, to become a better goalie, better leader, someone your teammates can trust, have more confidence in the net. That's what these goalie summits are all about. So go check them out, www.goaliesummit.com, and I guarantee you'll become a better lacrosse goalie. Now, let's enjoy the episode. All right. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show, Matt Corazon. There it is, my Argentina accent coming in. Matt, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
Oh, man. Anytime we can talk lacrosse for an hour, I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. For those that don't know you, maybe give a little intro about yourself and tell us a story of when you first jumped into goal, if you remember that.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's up, guys? My name is Matthew Corazon. I'm currently the starting goalie at the University of Florida, playing Division I MCLA ball. First time I ever stepped in cage, it was around middle school playing some fall ball for my club team, the Miami Stone Crabs. And, you know, the goalie couldn't make it that one tournament. So they go to the huddle and said, guys, we need a goalie this weekend. Kind of look around. Everyone's a little not sure what they're going to do. So I've always been that kid, you know, let's step up. Let's see how it goes. So, you know, hopped in net that one weekend. Had some pretty crappy gear that we threw together. And I ended up playing all right. We went to the championship game and we ended up losing, but it was a really good time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Everyone, you know, everyone sort of your age and I guess up will kind of remember all of the crappy gear that we first had when we first got in. I had that, I'll have to find a picture of it. I had that, it was a brine, like blue chest pad. And I mean, it didn't cover much. And then a Goalmaster. So I'm a little bit older. So you might have had a little bit more upgraded equipment, but it's pretty funny. So you made some saves right off the bat in that first tournament. And was that where you kind of got hooked, or was it later on?
So I was pretty hooked at the moment, but I didn't settle into being full time. I mean, I had just started playing some attack and some midi. You know, I was still scoring some goals there. I was having a lot of fun there. It wasn't until freshman year of high school that I officially decided that that's what was going to be for me. I joined the team. You know, a lot of great athletes down there in Florida. I was a little step slow, even though I had the stick skills. So I said I thought it was in my best interest in terms of playing time that I made the switch to goalie, and it ended up working out for me.
Yeah. How did you go about then, you know, from that, you know, that weekend of playing as a youth and in goal to, you know, up until high school? How did you go about learning the position?
So it's interesting because I was kind of off and on with goalie. There were some practices, maybe a couple weeks in a row, where I'd show up with my short stick and, you know, running it with the attack and the middie. And then I would just get a sudden urge and I'd go, coach, where's the goalie gear? I'm going to hop in today. It was really interesting. But, you know, I had a great group of coaches down here in South Florida with Alan and his son, Joey, and Matt Belondo. The Belondo guys really took care of me down here in Florida, as well as Rafi for the Stone Crabs program. They really got me my start in terms of training me up. It was mostly just, you know, the common stuff that you really go through with every goalie. You do some juggle drills, you get out the cones, you're walking the line, you're making some step down saves. So it was really just a back and forth until I finally decided in high school that I was going to take this position really seriously. And I started getting like a goalie coach, and I was reaching out to other guys to see what would be the right things to do to get my game better.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. I always say youth need to play in the field, like attack or D. Cause even if you end up, you know, as a full-time goalie, like those skills, both like the stick skills and the skills in terms of lacrosse IQ, like translate into making you a better goalie. Is that what you found as well?
100%. I thought being an attackman and a midfielder not only gave me an insight into what a shooter sees when they're shooting on me in terms of what they want, but also in the clear game, it's absolutely essential to understand how the ball is going to be thrown into your stick, how middies turn, where a middie would want the ball if they were running in a certain direction. You know, and obviously the foundation of stick skills from having a short stick hitting the wall constantly. You know, a lot of goalies just kind of get thrown to the wolves in terms of, hey, make saves, we'll do the rest. But, you know, you're a player on the field. You got to be able to catch, throw, move the ball as easily as anybody else. Not better. 100%. I think you got to be the best one on the field, the stick skills.
Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely a player on the field. And I would say you're also a coach in the sense that, like, you know, when you play middie or when you play D, you then understand the fundamentals of defense, like one-on-one defense as well as team defense. And then you can be that like second coach right there on the field, helping your team out.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree.
Yeah. How would you describe like the style of how you play, just in terms of your stance, your arc, your step? And first of all, before you answer that, what size are you? How tall are you?
I'm 5'10", 180.
Okay.
So right there in the middle range.
Yeah. For goalie. Okay.
So I stand on a pretty high arc. I would say I'm about 2.5-3 yards off GLE from the top of my arc. And then I would say I'd take about 1 yard off for my top right, top left. And then I'm holding pipe on the wings. In terms of my stance, I'm a pretty low and explosive guy. I get pretty deep down into my squat, even though I'm, you know, not the tallest goalie. You'll see when I'm out there, I would say my head, you know, 6 foot bar, my head's probably about 5 feet. So I'm giving about a foot above my head. But yeah, I get really down into my stance. I like exploding up to a ball. And if something comes lower to the sides, I more like collapse my body towards it. Mm-hmm. My steps are pretty diagonal. I don't know if I would say I'm all the way a 45, but I'm definitely not flat. I'm something in between there. Mm-hmm. And then big explosive steps when I take them. Sometimes I'm making a save and I finish with my entire body outside the goal. So I'm very big. I'm very low and explosive. You know, I'm ready to go. Sometimes it's hard to keep the staying on the balls of my feet because I'm looking for the shot and I'm ready to attack it.
Yeah. Kind of sounds like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it kind of sounds like another South Florida goalie, Mike Adler. I don't know if you watched Adler play, but like, he's like really down, like, you know, in a real athletic, almost squat position, ready to explode. Would you say that's kind of how you look in your setup?
Yeah, I would say I'm pretty similar. Obviously, Mike's been hitting the weight room maybe a little bit better than me, but actually Mike was a senior at St. Thomas Aquinas down here in my Fort Lauderdale. I had the privilege of playing him a couple of times. Well, I don't know if I'd say privilege. We got our hands beat pretty bad. got beat pretty bad, but hey, he's a hell of a goalie. I love watching him play at Duke. But yeah, I'm definitely low to the ground, big squat, hands still nice and high to explode anything high. And then we're collapsing and stepping to everything.
Yeah, love it. You mentioned getting a goalie coach. How did you go about doing that? Or asked another way, if there's a young goalie or parent out there who's like, yeah, I should probably get my kid a goalie coach. You know, what would be your recommendation to them?
Well, I think a big mistake a lot of people make actually is trying to do you should do some research on your own, but when you come to a decision, I think the biggest thing that you need to involve is your lacrosse coaches. I mean, these are guys involved in the lacrosse community. They've got to have some insights on something like that. They got to know some good guys to talk to. So for me, it ended up going through my high school coach, Coach Jim DeLang. I reached out to him and said, hey, like, who's a guy that you know for sure could get me, you know, moving a little better? And he hooked me up with my goalie coach, AJ Babnick. He was a goalie at the time with John Galloway at the University of Albany. So he was a guy who knew exactly what I wanted to do. He was a shorter guy like me. He knew how to explode, be big, and be a player on the field. So he really helped me out a lot.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, a lot of people say they have trouble getting a goalie coach. And I think there's a lot of opportunity out there. Like, you know, if you're by any sort of college that has a program, it doesn't even matter the level, MCLA, D3, D2, mm-hmm. D1, like, you know, reach out to those goalies. And the cool thing about the goalie community is that I think you're going to find somebody who's willing to help because we love it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I started coaching some young goalies recently too. So
yeah,
I love giving back to it. And I would 100% reach out to your local goalies. Even if they can't do it, they for sure have had a coach help them out.
Yeah. I love that. And some goalies think that, well, I just played in the MCLA. You know what I mean? They have this like, I'm not a D1 goalie type of attitude. Like how could I really teach? And I had that too when I was first starting out doing this lax goalie rat stuff, because I played at Cal in the MCLA, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, I didn't play D1. I didn't play D2, D3. Like why would people trust me and listen to me? But you know, that's not the case whatsoever. Even if you're just a couple of steps ahead of that goalie, like you can almost be a better coach in certain aspects because you know you're more closer to where they are than like a John Galloway is, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And you know, sometimes talent doesn't equal how well you can coach. You know, that's one thing. And I think you got to be able to relate to kids younger than you and kids who are maybe starting out not where you were, or maybe even better than where you were, and you got to be able to pick it up for them. And another thing is, you know, as I've played this sport, is like you're never stopped learning. You know, you're constantly learning new things, you're constantly picking up new tips from guys. So your ability to soak that in like a sponge and reach it out back to the next level of players, you know, that's what's really going to make a good coach, is constantly learning and being able to reciprocate that to new guys.
Yeah, constantly learning. That's a philosophy that I embrace 100%. I mean, I'm 20 years of playing and coaching experience in, and I still learn new things every day. Today I put out the goalie summit. I mean, I'm going to learn a ton from these guys. Mm-hmm. And even if it's stuff like that you already know, if sometimes it's just like thinking about it in a different way, or they say something that like is a little short, quick phrase that you're like, oh, that's a great way to encapsulate it. That will help these young goalies. So yeah, I love that. I love what you just said right there. That's awesome. So kind of going back to your career, you go in high school, which by the way, Miami or like South Florida now, the whole state of Florida for that matter is lacrosse is growing quite a bit. Could you talk about that? Or I mean, is that true?
Yeah, 100%. I think the sport has grown so much from the time I was in high school to now the high schoolers now. I mean, I look at my little brother is going to the high school I went to. I look at his team now, and his team, I think, would smoke my team just in terms of stick skills, being able to shoot the ball. My team was football players with sticks. You know, we were big body athletes. But I mean, you look at like a team like Sweet Lax Florida, you know, they're going around the country and they can handle anybody. I think that, you know, the terms of hotbeds is going to start changing very soon. You've got teams out west. You're getting number one recruits from the state of Utah, you know, Texas. You're getting guys who can play Division I from any state. So I do believe that, you know, the Baltimore and the Northeastern area is still going to be a hotbed, don't get me wrong, but you're going to start seeing talent everywhere. And I think the state of Florida, with the athletes that we have, especially, you know, building football players and stuff like that, you know, if you can get a stick in their hand young and you get that stick skills going, we could be a dangerous state to play with.
Yeah. Awesome. Love it. Yeah. My high school has a team now. And I mean, I didn't play in high school, but because there was no team, there was no high school in the Bay Area in the 90s growing up as a kid. So I played a bunch of other sports, which leads me to the next question. Did you play other sports? And if so, how do you feel like that translated into your lacrosse goalie game?
So when it came to high school, I kind of decided that lacrosse was going to be my thing. But middle school, you know, I was playing everything I could get my hands on, you know, joined the team basketball. I was playing tackle football for years on end. When I came to high school, you know, Christopher Columbus High School is an 8A school here in Florida. You know, there's some big kids you got to play against. I wasn't too big or too fast. So, you know, mom thought I was going to get crunched, even though I kind of still loved it. But yeah, so I would say, you know, tackle football was a huge influencer on my life. I thought, you know, it would just teach me toughness. And then, you know, the athleticism that you need to play football is great because it was conditioning year round. It was strength training year round. And I think how that translated to me into being a goalie is when I played outside linebacker, I was constantly in like this ready state of reactivity to watch the ball, seeing where I'm going, what am I doing, you know, and then analyzing something fast and then reacting upon it. Like if I had a pass responsibility, but I'm all of a sudden sitting run, I've got to reanalyze that and, you know, go run after a receiver or something like that. You got to be quick on your toes. So it would definitely help me in terms of my athleticism, but definitely in decision making as well.
Interesting. Yeah. Love it. So in your high school career, then, like, how did the University of Florida come to be? Were there other schools you were considering? Did you go to that school like with lacrosse in mind, or how did you wind up at Florida?
So I did a couple of those recruiting tournaments. You know, I did hotbeds, I did some tournaments up in Pennsylvania. I went up there with Team Florida, didn't really get a lot of time. You know, it was kind of one of those, like, you know, trying to get your money kind of things. I ended up on a team with three goalies. You know, no one's going to want to recruit a goalie who plays a third of a game. So I kind of, you know, it was whatever, but I did have some offers thanks to my high school coach, from some Division IIs and Division IIIs and, you know, great schools. You know, I wish I could have pursued them more, but nothing was going to top the University of Florida. I was a pretty bright kid. So here in Florida, we have something called the Bright Future Scholars, which is a certain SAT and a certain GPA. The state of Florida lottery will pay your tuition.
Wow.
So I'm basically going to the University of Florida on the Florida lottery salary, basically. So, you know, you can't beat free school at a top five public university with great football and the ability to keep playing lacrosse. There was just no way I could pass up an opportunity like that.
That's awesome. Congrats. Is it a scholarship or like a, I guess, again, yeah, in a way it is. Yeah.
It's an academic scholarship. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
Just kind of goes to show like hard work in the classroom is totally worth it just in terms of that academic scholarship, but also, you know, just get, if you end up, you know, getting to a D1 school, like a lot of times you got to get in. I mean, you got to have the grades, right? That's the first thing coaches ask about. So did you, how did you meet the team, the Florida team?
So I kind of, you know, I knew they had MCLA lacrosse. I knew they had a club team. I reached out actually to Coach Hanrahan on the recruiting website and I kind of got one of those letters back, you know, like show up to the tryouts and we'll see like what you're doing. So,
yeah,
you know, I just kind of showed up in the fall with my bag and my high school gear and I just pulled up and just started playing, you know, had one of our tryouts or a skill evaluation as we call them. And, you know, ended up making the team, you know, and they ended up being some lifelong friends on that team. You know,
for sure.
Thank God I made that team. I was good. I didn't start my freshman year, but, you know, I was happy to be on the team and be a part of the team.
Yeah. So when I played at Cal in 1999, like the state of the program was essentially, you know, if you show up and you're athletic and have a good attitude, you'd pretty much make the team. Was it like that for Florida? Or were you guys like making cuts?
So I think my first year it was like that. But you know, this year it was absolutely not like that. I think we have the most competitive team that I've ever been a part of at the University of Florida. I mean, we have a roster of 50 guys and we had north of 75 come try out.
Wow.
So So we had a very good tryout, very good skill evaluation. And, you know, we weren't making cuts in terms of that, but we were inviting guys. Guys were telling us no. Guys were telling us they couldn't make the commitment that we were asking for. And then obviously there were some guys who just had lacrosse skill that we were like, you know, you need to keep working on it, maybe come back next year kind of thing.
Right.
Awesome. But yeah, we're definitely pretty competitive.
Yeah. And for those that, you know, most of the people I interview for the podcast, when we talk about college goalies are D1, D2, D3. I have interviewed a handful of MCLA goalies, but when people think about MCLA lacrosse, how do you describe it?
I think it's everything you would want in lacrosse that isn't a varsity level commitment in terms of your commitment, because, you know, you're practicing 3-4 days a week. You're going to the gym with your guys. You know, you're conditioning with your guys. You're hitting the wall with your guys. You don't have that commitment like, hey, I got to be here for these two practices a week and then the lift in the afternoon and then somehow fit my classes in like that. It's not in terms of the hourly commitment, but you still get all the aspects of varsity lacrosse that you could ever want. You know, you're traveling for away games. You're seeing other campuses. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to experience the nightlife of a college that you're visiting. Mm-hmm. And obviously you're playing for a title. You're not playing for these rec games. Oh, it's fun. Like, you know, you get on the field and you're playing to win. So,
yeah.
And you're playing top talent. You're not playing any of these guys who just picked up a stick. You're playing guys who've played their whole lives, guys who played D1 and maybe chose to transfer out, or guys who had the ability to go play D1 and chose a school of their liking more. So, you know, you're playing top talent and you're playing to win. So I think it's everything you could want in a program.
Amen, brother. Amen. I love it. Yeah. I mean, I had such a great experience playing in the MCLA, and I will second everything that you said. I mean, it's very competitive, right? I mean, it's not a beer league. It's extremely competitive. We practice 5 days a week. So, you know, I mean, we were out there every day, but like you said, it wasn't like, you know, we would do double days during fall ball and kind of like coming back from winter break, but you know, we would do the two and a half hour practice, but we didn't have like, you know, mandatory lifts, mandatory film sessions, like all of the extra stuff that you do at a D1 program. But then at the same time, you know, we could have a social life. At the same time, mm-hmm. we could, you know, I could study engineering and take like a full load of courses. So, you know, there's trade-offs and it's fun competitive lacrosse, and it's a great opportunity for a lot of kids out there.
I agree.
Yeah. Sometimes MCLA programs have like really weird traditions. Does Florida do anything like that?
Yeah, we've got a really weird one that started recently with the addition of our assistant coach, Nick Dunman. He calls it the shovel tradition, which is basically the MVP of the most valuable player of one particular game gets to, you know, cut a notch into the top of a shovel after we win. And we called it that, like, we're slowly just burying the team that we're playing. You know, that's the guy who buried the team that we're playing. So we've got the Florida shovel. So that's Florida our shovel. That's our weird tradition.
All right. I love it. You know what we did at Cal? I don't think they do it anymore because you know, times have certainly changed and people are a little bit more sensitive nowadays. But the seniors got to give you a haircut, got to give the rookies a haircut, any cut that they want. So they got to go crazy. And here I am showing up in the 90s. I don't know if you know the 90s, like Backstreet Boys, like curtains, long hair curtains style that used to be pretty popular.
I had long hair before I shaved it. I used to have the flow.
Yeah. So I had that. So anyway, you had to wear that for a week. I don't think they do it anymore because it's, you know, hazing or whatnot. But we had that, and we had some good traditions. The other ones I'll keep for another podcast.
Yeah, no hazing on the team. No hazing.
Yeah, there you go. Cool. So you mentioned, you know, you sat your freshman year, and then by your sophomore year, were you the starting goalie?
Yeah. So my sophomore year, I ended up taking the starting responsibilities.
Nice. And you're going into your senior year or you're in your senior year?
Yep. This is my senior year, last season.
Let's go.
You know, got to have a big ride, hoping to show out, you know, hoping to win a national championship with the boys. And maybe I play well enough and I get nominated for a couple SELC or maybe even All-American. But, you know, Biggest goal right now is going with the team right now and taking the SCLC conference and going to the national championship.
I love it. Well, I'd love to see Florida and Cal in the national championship with a Cal victory. So there you go.
I don't know about that. I don't know Dude, about
Cal's,
that.
Cal's good. Cal's really
They're very
good.
They're a well-respected program, of course.
Yeah. Who are the top teams in the MCLA right now?
I think if you're looking at the top teams, you look at Cal. You look at Chapman, also from California.
Yep.
You know, BYU won it last year, or they won the, you know, the COVID tournament.
Uh-huh.
And then pushing towards the East Coast, you've got Georgia Tech. You've got defending 2020 national championship, South Carolina.
Okay.
And then you've got the Florida Gators, obviously.
Obviously. You
know.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good top six, top 10. You know, those guys will round it out this year. I think those guys are going to be the ones pushing it in the national tournament for those couple final spots.
Awesome. Love it. Yeah, we played Chapman. We played BYU. Like, I don't know. BYU is, I think, still in our conference, right? Are they in the WCLL?
I'm not sure, but okay. I think they are.
We'll check on that one later. Chapman, I remember this game so specifically. We're winning by one goal. And I made like pretty much the only walk-off save of my career. And it just hit me in the knee. It was a very lucky save. Like the guy kind of caught it on the crease falling down. And what I like to do, like when I know they're going to shoot right on the crease right there, I mean, I'm 5'8", so I'm pretty small. So I kind of come out, cut down that angle, and it ended up hitting me in the knee. And we won. I remember that game so vividly. Yeah. Any games that you remember super vividly?
Well, obviously the most recent one would be our win against Florida State in the Fall Classic that happened just a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
So we just played State. They came off last season. We split the season 1-1 and they had the last laugh. They got the win at the end of the COVID season. So this year we looked for a big statement win, and you know, we got it. I played pretty good. I think I had 13 or 14 saves, 6 allowed goals. We ended up winning 8-6. You know, my guys showed out. The offense looked great. The defense showed me all the shots I wanted, and the ones I didn't want to see, I was still coming up with a few of them. So it was a great win and always good to beat State.
I love it. Who else do you guys play in your division, your conference?
So in the tight conference right now, it's going to be the Florida schools and Auburn. So you have Auburn, us, Florida State, UCF, and USF. And then in the bigger SCLC, you have the inclusion of Alabama, South Carolina, Georgia Tech, Georgia, and I think there's a couple other schools. But that rounds out the SCLC. Most of them are put on our schedule this year.
Cool.
So we're ready.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, that's got to be exciting coming back from like a shortened COVID season. I know a lot of MCLA programs, including Cal, didn't even have a season during COVID. Yeah. But are you guys back fully this year?
Back fully.
Yes.
You know, we're ready to go. We've got a full schedule in place, 14 games, 13 games, plus a postseason. So cool. We're ready to go. We're ready to go. We're itching to play, especially the guys who didn't, you know, who had to kind of keep the COVID guidelines going last year. We're ready to go.
Right. Yeah. Awesome. Speaking of getting ready to go, what does your goalie training regimen look like? Certain drills you do? Are you a big live shots kind of guy? What do, you know, how do you prep?
So Coach Garrett has a habit of sometimes leaving me to the wolves, is what I like to say. We do a lot of good shooting drills, and you kind of, you know, you pick up fast or you're fish, man. You're bait if you're not going to pick up fast on it. So these guys are coming at you one-on-one drills, you know, step down shot drills, quick inside shot drills. You know, and you're taking 20, 25 reps at a time, mm-hmm. and they're coming at you in 5 seconds of succession. So if you get scored on, you got to be quick. But other than that, I love quick reaction drills. Me and my goalies, Jaden and Ryan and Wade, we've been doing a lot of these drills that we see F1, Formula One drivers that they use for their reaction times before games. So we're constantly doing quick reaction times. One of the ones we do is actually each of us holds a ball in each hand, and then the other person puts their hand on top, and then we drop the ball, and then the guy's got to come under and catch the ball before it hits mm-hmm. the ground. That's mm-hmm. one of our favorite ones. You know, and then egg toss, we're doing a lot of band work, you know, walking the line or making saves with resistant bands, you Love know, to it. Get your legs moving.
Yep.
you know. And then obviously in terms of other training, it's hitting the gym 3 or 4 times a week, you know, getting your core workout in, getting your leg workout in, getting your upper body going good.
Love it. Sounds like a good training program right there. Yeah, the band work, love it. The hand-eye reaction stuff with the balls. Some coaches don't like that. I love it. I love it. I really think that you're training your, I don't even know what's like your nervous system to fire quickly based on that stimuli. Mm-hmm. So I think all goalies should incorporate at least 1 or 2 drills like into their routine for that as well. And is that what you do with like, you mentioned you started working with some goalies yourself. Is that kind of the same training program you put them through, or there's some other things you do with them?
So we do it kind of like on a personal basis, but there's definitely, you know, drills that they like that they want to do that maybe I wouldn't prefer to myself, but I'll sit there and do it with them anyway, because that's what they want to do today. And then obviously vice versa goes. There's some I like that maybe they don't favor too much, but they're going to go through it that day because I want to do it. But it's definitely, you know, we're just one big old happy goalie group, you know, our little goalie room that we have there, 4 really awesome goalies. And, you know, we just show up every day and we're just getting work. We're rooting on for each other, you know, just we're like each other's cheerleaders is what we like to say. I like to say when I go into a game, I want to play so good that coach can pull me and put someone else in. That's what I like to.
Yeah, I love that. That's an interesting take. I've never heard that. I've never heard it phrased like that. But it's like, yeah, I mean, we want to dominate so well. I want to get these other guys some playing time.
Yeah, that's cool. I love it. I love cheering them on when they're in games. It's awesome to see their hard work make fruition on the field.
For sure. For sure. Is that, you know, I imagine a lot of that happened your freshman year, you know, when you were the backup. Was that, sometimes it is tough for goalies, you know, if you start 4 years in high school or even a couple of years in high school and have some success and then to go back into that backup role. How was it for you?
I won't lie that it was tough. You know, coach kind of expects you to, you know, you got to be that sideline guy to cheer on your guy. But, you know, I especially felt that after starting my senior year in high school that I was going to come into Florida and maybe have a chance to fight for that starting spot. I absolutely love Jack, the goalie I backed up my freshman year. He's a great guy and even better goalie. But I won't lie to you when I say that it was pretty tough in terms of having to ride the bench and be that guy there to support him. I loved supporting him, but I definitely was itching for playing time any chance I got. I remember University of New Hampshire came down to Gainesville, got a game. Ball comes trickling towards the goal line. Attackman's got a pretty good beat on it. Jack comes out and just kills the kid, which I loved the hit. I was cheering for it. And then, you know, you get the nod for the man down because I got to hop in, and I was ecstatic, you know, and then you just hop in and you're hoping that the moment doesn't end, that there's no stoppage of the whistle or anything like that. And maybe I won't get subbed out and I'll just finish the quarter or something like that. I loved it though.
Yeah. That's funny. That story reminds me of my very first save. It was the exact same situation, but it was a slashing penalty our starting goalie got, and they put me in, I made a couple saves. And then, yeah, I was like, oh man, I hope I can stay in, but no, they put the starter back in. So,
yeah.
That's cool. How about, have you ever had a point in your career where you went through a slump? And if so, how did you get out of that?
I don't think I went into a slump in terms of statistically where I wasn't really making the minimum 50% that most goalie coaches are looking for. I did go through like a slump, mentally in terms of like, you know, like was my heart still really in the game kind of thing. It was just for a couple of games. I was, you know, and at the time in high school, I was splitting time. I was 50-50 with a goalie. We'd split halves. And I was really wondering to myself, like, was like the time I was putting in terms of effort for, I wanted 100% of the time. And I still wasn't getting it. And I was like, well, like, what is all this work going to come out to? But, you know, and then like, you kind of get those moments where you're sitting in. I remember it pretty vividly that I had like just a really like stupid game in the second half. I think we got blown out by that team, but I think I gave up 5 goals and a half, but I had something like 21 saves. And then that's what those moments where you're like, okay, this is why I'm doing all of this. It's for the guys who come off the sideline and cheer you on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting comment. I mean, did you have like a goal in high school when it came to lacrosse?
I think my I mean, I've certainly had like middle goals in terms of like, oh, you know, I wanted to be 100% the starter. You know, yeah. I would push for the all district team, yeah. You know, stuff like that. You push to get recruited and all that stuff. And some of those goals came to fruition and some of them didn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look back on it now and, you know, I kind of say, you know, well, who cares? You know, you're just going to keep playing because you love it kind of thing.
Yeah. Because sometimes I find that like when kids are just playing, when they're just playing, I say kids, mm-hmm. like high school level, you know, when they're just playing and they don't have like this strong connection of like, this is the reason I'm playing. They can sometimes go through that really easily. Like what is all this for? Especially when it gets tough, right? Cause it will get mm-hmm. tough. It will at a certain point get tough. Like you're going to have a game where you just get shelled. You're going to have a practice where like, you don't feel like being there. And then you take one off the thigh and then you really don't feel like being there. You're like, what am I doing here? But if you can somehow have that like real strong connection to your why, as some people call it, like, I think that mm-hmm. that helps get you through. How did you go through this feeling of like, you know, what am I doing here? Which I'm sure is very common. Like a lot of goalies mm-hmm. feel that. Like, what would you tell someone who felt that way yesterday, for example?
Well, I think one of the things that got me into that slump is statistical goal-oriented goals. I think when you make a goal out of your task, you can't be saying, okay, I want to go, I don't know, 65% on save percentage every single game. Because yeah. then as soon as you don't hit that, you know, all of a sudden you find yourself into like, well, then, you know, like I failed. Like, I'm no, you can't do that. It's got to be in terms of making your tasks, you know, it's got to be improving yourself.
Yeah.
Every little bit, every little time, getting slightly faster, making the next save kind of thing. You know, you've got to be improving yourself. And I think the other thing is just, you know, just fall into it with your teammates. You know, your teammates are out there battling there with you. They've got the same goal in terms of winning as you do. And those are the guys that you want to go hang out with when the game's over anyway. These are your best friends and they're wanting you to succeed and you want them to succeed. So go out there and you got to play for your guys.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. Team-oriented goals are tremendous because a lot of times goalies start, you know, they start to take on like more pressure and more responsibility than they really need to. And yeah, like the spotlight's on us. I get that, right? But at the end of the day, it is a team game. And mm-hmm. sometimes in order for the team to win, the goalie doesn't need to save 75%, right? If you mm-hmm. can save 50, if you could save 40, or you can make that one save at the very end and you win 17-16, right? So I like that idea of team-oriented goals. It's pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Who are some of the goalies that you love to watch? College, pros?
Yeah. So when I was little, I would say the big guy that I really looked up to was Drew Adams, you know, back when he was on the Lizards.
Yep.
I just thought, you know, this guy, he's pretty tall, you know, a little lanky, but he just had such quick hands and he moved his body to the ball so efficiently. And then in terms of college, I was a big Notre Dame guy, Shane Doss. I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
And then the two studs of the time in college lacrosse that I really admired was Jack Kelly and John Connors. Jack Kelly for Brown. I love watching your little goalie highlight reel all the time of Jack Kelly and John Connors going at it. Connors had like 21 saves, I think. Jack Kelly was just stuffing everything left and right. That's one of my favorite videos to go back and watch because those guys were just battling in the cage. I could tell there wasn't even like an offense going around. The whole game was which goalie was going to give up first. And yeah. John Connors was on the ropes a couple of times with some of those shooters, but holy hell, did he have a game.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite save edits I've ever done. It was just so much fun to watch that game. Navy Brown, the Terminator, John Connors. And I've reached out to him a bunch of times to get him on the show. No luck. I got Jack Kelly on. Amazing guy. Just an amazing guy. He's the real deal. He's just so awesome.
All right. Well, John Connors, if you're listening, this is your shout out.
There you go.
You're the next guest on the show.
You're on the clock. You're on the clock, John Connors. Let's go.
You're being called out.
Getting called out. I love it. Awesome. And then I also had Drew Adams on the show too. And he's great. Also great, great, great goalie. When we think about the mental game, kind of switching gears a little bit, when you think about the mental game, You know, obviously goalies need to be mentally tough, right? What is mental toughness when you hear that phrase? What does that mean to you? And like, how do you go about being mentally tough?
I think it's just quick memory. I'm sure you hear that a lot, but you know, you've got to be able to forget and keep going on with your game. Especially if, you know, two or three get poured in on you right off the back, you know, you've got to be thinking next save. And then I think also on the field, when I start the game, I'm pretty quiet. I'm not really having a whole lot of conversation with anybody. Even my goalie coaches are like, "Oh, like, how are you feeling?" They're getting in my face. I'm like, "I feel good." Like, that's all they're going to get out of me. And then the game starts, you know, maybe a couple things start going our way. I'm throwing some jokes around. I'm trash talking with the other guys, you know. So, you know, my mental game is definitely as much of in my own head as sometimes you got to be in the other guy's head. So it's a little bit of back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. The next shot mentality is like, you hear it in so many different forms, but it really is, you know, that ability to have something bad happen and then reset. It's an amazing life skill. I can't tell you the number of times I'm doing like working on my own business and then you'll have like something, you know, go wrong. And then it's like, I just gave up a goal. What do I do now? Do I sit here and I sulk and I let that like affect everything that I'm going to do for the next couple of days? Or do you like next shot, like next play? Do I brush that one off? Learn what you can from the goal you just gave up. Right. I mean, if there's like a defensive letdown, or if you're like, you know what, I need to like remain patient and see the ball, learn what you can, but then you got to move on. So
yeah, 100% agree.
Yeah. And then, I like it. You get into the little trash talk game, huh?
Yeah.
You got some good lines that we need to know, or are you just kind of in the moment?
I think it's mostly in the moment. A big one for mine in high school was before I would make the save, I would yell, "Thank you." they would shoot the ball's in the air. I'd say, "Oh, thanks, man." And then clear the outlet.
Yeah.
Obviously the obvious attackman, you know, this guy's got a fish. I'll yell "black fish." And then one of my guys, either Beeson or Schaefer, I'll just let him go beat up on him. I had a couple big hits on some attackmen who were coming around trying to do a fancy little crease dive. And before they could get vertical, you know, go put them on their ass and then tell them, go hit the weight room. And, you know, just how you got to be in their head as much as you're in your head, because I'll tell you what, an attackman starts chirping you. And if you can't give it back or do it on the field when you one up them, you know, you're going to be sitting there sulking the whole time in the crease. You're not going to like it.
Yeah.
So be lighthearted about it. Don't get anything, you know, in terms of getting yourself a penalty, but don't be afraid to give it back to an attackman if they're going to try to give it to you.
I love it. Yeah. I enjoyed a little chirping myself, because when they score a goal, they always give it to you. Right. And so it, you know, if you're just always taking it, and you're the kind of goalie, like some goalies are, could just totally brush that off, ignore it. And that works great. Like that's a great way to go about and what we're talking about right now. But you know, if they get like, they get, you know, one of our D guys strips them, right. Mm-hmm. I'm letting them know about that. Come on. I mean, I'm letting them know about that.
Yeah, of course. I'm getting loud. I'm just like a big, like, "Oh my God," kind of guy. Like, you know, I've got a great defense this year, and they're stripping guys left and right. These Division I guys coming out to play in my defense, I call them the trees. I mean, I've got three defenders all over 6'1", all over 200 pounds. You know, they're not letting anything by that's anything easy. And if you're going to wave your stick around, all of them have the stick skills to take it from you. So if you're going to get stripped by then, I'm going to let you hear about it.
Yeah. I love it. What about pregame rituals? You mentioned being kind of quiet, like that's your approach to the game. Are there other rituals that you go through pregame?
Yeah. So breakfast every morning before a game, it's scrambled eggs with spinach. That's my go-to.
Nice.
Really weird, but that's what I do. And I get to the game about, probably an hour and a half before the game starts. I love to get in my hand-eye work. I'll start doing some juggling. I'll get some egg tossing, something like that. Get one of those rollers out, those foam rollers. I'll hit my legs. I'll hit my back. I'll hit my side a couple times. And then, you know, before the game, I want to start seeing some live shots. So I'll take on about like 65% max speed from about 6-7 yards. And then I want to bump that up to like 80 from 10, and then like maybe 90 from 12. And then I want to, and then after that, I'll just take a break and start blasting some music. You know, and before a game, I'm pretty, I want to get the heart rate going. You know, I want to be in the energy of it, but I'm not really talking to anybody. So I'll play some heavy metal or some rock music or something like that and get myself going. And then finish that off with some 4-on-3s with the attackman giving me some like really game-like shots. And then we'll call it there and just suit up and get ready to go.
All right. I love it. Yeah, I well, first of all, I'm doing a little lacrosse goalie playlist. So what heavy metal song do I need to put on my playlist?
Oh, hold on here. Let me pull up my Spotify. I've got a whole playlist of it.
Yeah, all right.
I think the first one that comes to mind is obviously Shoot to Thrill. That's definitely a big one there. So
okay. I'll check that one out.
That one I think's gotta definitely be added to the playlist. If you've ever seen like Iron Man I think it's the Avengers, the first Avengers, when Iron Man makes his first entrance, he plays that song in the background. So definitely look into that one.
Shoot to Thrill.
Yeah.
AC/DC.
Yep.
Okay. Love it. You know what song's getting me going? Have you listened to Hail to the King, Avenged Sevenfold?
I have listened to Avenged Sevenfold.
That one gets you going.
Yes, sir. That one is a good one.
Yeah. All right. What else was I talking about? Got pumped up there. Pre-game. Yeah. So a lot of times coaches and players, like they really, I don't know what it is, but like they'll come up to you and be like, "Hey, you ready?" And I hate that. You know what I mean? Like that was like, it's just one of my pet peeves. Like, yeah, dude, like, you know, we have like seen thousands and thousands of shots and worked all these hours to like, you know, this is game day. Don't ask me if I'm ready, but I was a little bit more loose and vocal in my pregame than maybe other goalies, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it, man. Well, cool. Wish you tons of luck in the upcoming season. I think you're also the team captain. Yeah. I would love to ask about how you went about being the backup goalie to being a leader of the team.
Yeah, so I kind of just started, you know, in terms of like exec positions. So sophomore year, I took the starting job. And then the next year, I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to be the team secretary. And then the year after, you know, I'm like, all right, this year, I'm going to shoot for president. Got president. And I think it's in practice, I'm not like I am in a game. I'm definitely very lighthearted. I love taking the freshmen home in my car. You know, you pick up like 4 or 5 freshmen and need rides back to their dorms. And you're giving them rides and, you know, all the guys know your name and you know all their names early. And it's just a matter of getting acquainted with the team. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I hear my nickname from only this group of guys, from the lacrosse guys, and no one else calls me that. So it's kind of special that, you know, you've got this group of guys who like know you by this. And if you hear it on campus, you know exactly someone's calling you because of this, because they're on the team and they recognize you from across the field or walking in class. So, you know, the guys are very special. So when you're wanting to interact with the guys and be with the guys and you want to learn the new kids' names and you want them to feel welcome, guys will gravitate towards you. So I think that's one of the reasons that the team elected to vote me captain this year.
Love it. What do they call you?
Zone, Z-O-N-E.
Zone.
Just in the zone, Corazon.
Yeah.
Just shorten it up. The story officially behind it is sophomore year, we had a defenseman, Michael Conley. And he used to just call me Calzone just to mess with me. And then Calzone, Corazon, Calzone. And then the cow got cut.
Yeah.
And now I'm just Zone.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the evolution of nicknames, right? There was one guy on our team who we thought we were kind of giving him a hard time one time and told him he ran like a salamander. And his name was Jerem. So for a long time, we were calling him the Jeremander. And then that of course just got shortened down to the Mander. Mm-hmm. And so like that, I mean, like that the lacrosse team is his only group that calls him the Mander. Mm-hmm. but that's the evolution of a good sports nickname.
Oh yeah.
All right, man. In the zone. I love it. You also touched on another thing about MCLA lacrosse that's going to be very different. It's a total self-run program. Right. So like you said, you're electing a president, and a secretary and a treasurer, right? And the treasurer's mm-hmm. collecting team dues And, you know, all this stuff that, you know, if you're going to play at a D1 program, you, where you get a lot of the schools backing on that, you're going to have to deal with it yourself in the MCLA. And I don't know what your guys' relationship with the university was, but I mean, at Cal, like, they helped us get Fields and we could use the name. But other than that, like, you know, we were pretty much on our own. Is it similar?
Not as much anymore. We have a great relationship with UF Rec Sports. Our ambassador, Brooke, right now, she's awesome. We love her.
Yeah.
She hooks it up. The university funds us for whatever we can equal fundraising ourselves. Does that make sense?
That's great.
So if we can compete with that, they'll help back us up. They've hooked us up with new turf fields for the rec sports. That's obviously open to other clubs, but we get a specific time slot for it. We get to play on a turf field now. They really hooked it up. They've actually ordered shot clocks for us. So we've had a pretty good relationship with the University of Rec Sports. And then you can't say enough about what Coach Garrett does for the program, because like you said, it is student run, but he has a big part in making sure that everything goes smoothly. You know, he's the one calling coaches, he's helping us with vendors and hotels and getting everything organized, making sure that we're all good. So he puts a lot into it, probably just as much as the exec, if not more than what the exec board puts into it, to making sure that a season flows smoothly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into it. And I think back as like a freshman or a sophomore, and we take a trip to, BYU, plane flights and all this stuff. And you think about, like, why you just show up and go, you don't realize all of the work that's gone on behind the scenes to organize hotels and flights and transportation for, you know, 30, 35 kids or whatever it was. So a lot of work goes into it. I do realize that.
Yeah. 100%.
Well, that's awesome that you guys got such a great relationship. I actually don't know how it is with Cal these days. I mean, maybe it's the same as well, because, you know, the MCLA and lacrosse in general is growing quite a bit. But I do know, like, you know, when we would go to practice, I mean, we'd have to kick like soccer players off our field.
Yeah, we're still doing that. You know, they have open recreation for a certain time. And then when our time starts, that's when we can kick them out. So we're not kicking anybody out early. But we're hey, like, you know, we've got the field right now, you know, and then we got to move their soccer goals, which is a pain in the ass. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. All right, Matt. Well, thank you so much. Big shout out to your assistant coach for putting us together. You were, I think before we hit record, you were talking about how he works with the goalies, you know, with your team, but doesn't have any, goalie experience himself, which is just goes to show, like, it helps, right? But you can absolutely be a value add and help train goalies. If you've never done it for yourself, wouldn't you agree?
I 100% agree. I feel like, first of all, every coach has got to start somewhere. I think if you're a head coach and you're by yourself, maybe you don't have an assistant coach to help you work with, I think you've got to do some research on helping your goalie, because if all you're going to do is say, hey, see some shots and eventually you'll get better at it, and, you know, the goalie's not going to improve. You got to put him through some drills, something specifically oriented towards the goalie from time to time. And that's how they're going to improve. So I would say, even if you have absolutely zero goalie experience, do some research. Maybe you can help your local goalie out, or the goalie you're coaching that day.
Totally. Totally. And if this was 1999, maybe I'd cut you some slack, because there was not a lot of resources. I found this one book, the very first book I posted on my Instagram, and it's like stick figures, like demonstrating the saves, you know. And nowadays, like Instagram, YouTube, my site, Lax Goalie Rat, there's a lot of other sites like that. I mean, the resources are there. So you really have no excuse in terms of learning at least the bare minimum about how to train goalies and then putting them through that. And you owe that to them, because it's a tough position. If they don't get that specialized training, like, a lot of times up here, like, you start to lose it. So good. What's your coach's name, by the way?
The assistant coach that hooked you up is Coach Tom. And then our head coach is Coach Garrett.
All right. Well, wish you guys nothing but the best of luck. Florida Gators versus Cal in the championship 2022. I'll be looking for that. If I wanted to learn a little bit more about, you know, you guys and your program, or even you yourself, like, where should I go?
So obviously you could start at the MCLA website, which is mcla.us, and then go to the Florida Gators, but also you can follow the Gators on Instagram. US Club Blacks is, I think, our handle. I'll confirm that for you right now. So Gators Lax Club. Later, Gators Lax Club is where you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
Okay.
And then obviously you can get updates from Coach on how the team is doing, and maybe every now and then they'll post a nice photo of me.
I love it. Well, they just got themselves one more follower. Oh no, wait, this is the female team. That's not what I want. Gators Lax. Yes. What is it?
Gators Lax Club.
Gator. There it is. All right. Well, they just got themselves one more follower. We'll be checking that out. What about your stick setup? What stick do you go with?
All right. So I currently got on the Eclipse 2. I love the Eclipse 2. That's kind of been my main setup for a long time now. I'm running East Coast Hero Mesh.
Mm-hmm.
I run two U's and a nylon.
Mm-hmm.
And I throw that on an STX attack shaft. That's my current goalie setup. I absolutely love it. My stick has started to rattle, and I do not care because it throws like money. I will not give it up. Something's got to break, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So everything's working right now. So even I'll deal with a little rattle to come up with some big saves and throw some nice shots, show some nice dimes.
Okay. What if ECD comes out with a goalie head? You going to try that one?
If ECD comes out with a goalie head, I'll wait till one of my guys on the team gets it, and maybe I'll use it for a couple reps, because I'm pretty set in stone right now on this on the Eclipse 2. I mean, the
good Eclipse 2, it's the best of the best out there, right? And there's other great goalie heads, don't get me wrong, but I love the Eclipse 2.
Yeah, it's just got a face shape I can't beat. I mean, I had the Eclipse 1, and I thought the face shape was amazing, and the only problem was that throat that was just a little too wide for your hand if you wanted to be really close to your stick. So when the Eclipse 2 came out with the new handle, I thought it was just money all the way around.
Yeah. Do you grip the plastic in your top hand setup?
Yeah. So yeah. I can kind of see your stick there in the back.
I'm gonna grab it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm gonna be holding the plastic right there, and I'm gonna have my thumb up on the side, just like how you had it right there. So
What about this top finger? It's just like this?
Yep, it's curved around like that. So actually, sometimes I'm like that, but I'm pretty sure I'm more in this position because I'm not a more vertical guy. I am slightly angled a little bit in my stance.
Uh-huh.
It helps me get a little lower. And so if you're vertical and you're really like down and explosive and a low ball comes, you could like clip yourself. So when you're out with your hands nice and wide, give yourself a little angle. That's just the way I like it.
Yeah. I never gripped. Well, maybe it had to do with, I played with the clips. And so like the original, like you said, the throat's a lot wider. So I never gripped the plastic. I was always like touching, right there. Mm-hmm. But also I'm 5'8". So like I felt like if I gripped it up here, my reach went down a little bit. And so I just got that extra inch or two. But anyway, different styles.
Yeah, I think with how much I'm exploding towards the ball, you know, I want to be more in control of it than anything.
Cool. Matt, if you had to leave the kids out there with a final piece of advice, what would you say?
I would say if you're a goalie and you're pushing to be the best goalie that you can be, you've got to start playing with the big kids. Do not be afraid to throw yourself in the net. With some, maybe your JV, don't be afraid to go to a varsity practice. If you're in college and you got to start running with the ones, if you're in middle school, maybe the local high school has an available spot and they need a backup goalie for a couple practices. You know, the best way to get better is to see fast shots often. You'll start getting accustomed to it earlier. And by the time you roll around and it's your time with the big kids, you've seen it already. And it's clockwork for you at that point.
There we go. The zone. We'll leave it at that. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks. Pleasure meeting you, Dan.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed that interview. That was MCLA goalie, The Zone, Florida Gator, team president, team captain, starting goalie. Going to be awesome to watch him in the 2022 season, along with all the other goalies out there. I don't think I've ever been as pumped up for an upcoming lacrosse season as I am for the 2022 season. It's going to be awesome. I've sponsored 7 goalies We put out an amazing college goalie training packs. You can find that at laxgoalierat.com/college. Some awesome, awesome training material and opportunity to interact with some of those college goalies, get some direct coaching from them. I'm going to be pumped to watch them. I'm going to be pumped to watch all goalies. Games start in just a couple weeks. It is mid-January. I think first official games, beginning of February. And then the youth season start a little bit after that. So if you're listening to this, thank you so much for being here. Now, get out there, get some work in. Do well and be well. I'm Coach Damon. Take care.
You've been listening to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast with your host, Coach Damon Wilson.